T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, yeah, this quarterback situation in Pittsburgh, this is going to work, guys. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We will get to the NCAA tournament. We got a lot of thoughts. We've got our own bracket to get to, a little Maggie and Perloff-themed bracket. We've got expert breakdowns. We've got it all, Perloff, but the quarterback news from over the weekend was wild. Kenny Pickett gets traded to your Philadelphia Eagles, and then what, not much longer after that, a couple hours later, it felt like Justin Fields finally moves. That's the big domino that falls. He's going to go to Pittsburgh and allegedly be a backup, but I'm not buying that.
Well, you're not buying it. You don't trust the Pittsburgh Steelers, miss team loyalty, who promised Russell Wilson not only that he's going to start, that he might get another contract down the road.
Yeah, I
do think Russell Wilson probably wins the job, or they say he's won the job, and then Justin Fields has a chance to play. What's the difference? What I think we're looking at the same thing no matter who starts there. Pittsburgh's been stuck in quarterback purgatory since Ben Roethlisberger retired. And now all of a sudden they're getting two of the cheaper quarterbacks in the NFL, and they found a bargain that no other team out of 32 wanted. Russell is $1 million or something. Yep. Nobody wanted him. And Justin Fields, the market has revealed, nobody wanted him. So I think they went bargain shopping quarterback, and that often doesn't work in the NFL.
It's weird, though, because it's a bargain shop that still represents a significant upgrade from what you had. And this is a team that already was a playoff team with bad quarterback play, with a revolving door of Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky and Mason Rudolph look like Dan Marino compared to those other guys. And now you actually have two players who, yes, are maybe at the bottom of their powers, but have at least like a much higher ceiling than the other two. I still thought that Kenny Pickett may have had a shot. I don't think the organization necessarily did him right, and it looked like, you know, he had some personality conflicts as well and didn't want to be a part of this like faux competition. I think Justin Fields is an actual competition, because they might say that Russell Wilson starts the season. There were 66 players who played quarterback last year. You know, you need two to get through the season, of course, but I think that Justin Fields, you know, sitting behind Russ, Russ stumbles out of the gate at all, Perloff, they will go to Fields. I firmly believe that. This is going to be a situation where the most popular guy in town is the backup quarterback if Russell Wilson struggles. And if Russ has got nothing left in the tank and the age is actually caught up to him, well, here's the younger, fresher version of what Russell Wilson could be. Fields has some of the good and also not so good qualities of Russell Wilson, like hanging out of the ball and taking a lot of sacks. But you just get the younger version.
Well, let's not overlook that. You just sort of brush by the fact that he takes a lot of sacks. He takes as many sacks as anyone in the NFL. That is
except
backup.
For Russ.
That is backup came in last year, Tyson Badgett, and took no sacks with the same team. So I think that's the key number, is the sack rate. And also there's another big key number with Justin Fields. He has a fifth-year option of $25 million coming up, which I do not think the Steelers are going to pick up this offseason.
Right.
That's before he gets on the field, which means he'll be a free agent at the end of next year. So there's a lot of risk. I think the reality is that is one of the reasons he was worth so little.
Right.
Teams didn't want to face a contract decision immediately with Justin Fields. But the reality is the things that are wrong with the Steelers last year with all those quarterbacks are still wrong. I know they brought in Arthur Smith, but Arthur Smith was not good in Atlanta. Russell Wilson was not good in Denver. Justin Fields, really, he was okay in Chicago. Why the three of these guys are going to get together and all of a sudden be good?
Yeah, the triumvirate.
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers will still be a winning team because they have a great defense, but I don't think this quarterback situation elevates them where they need to be, because they're in such a ridiculous division with Cincinnati looking great. It's kind of a last dance field with T. Higgins. Baltimore reloading. And Cleveland has coach of the year, two-time coach of the year, and has a lot of talent as well. I just don't think that this is an elevator, a quarterback, and that's going to be the problem with them. They're going to have another year where they're flirting around 500.
Okay, they might not be the elevator like a Joe Burrow elevates you, right. But I ask you, is it a better quarterback room right now than it was last year?
I ask you, does it make a difference?
Well, I think it does because the fact is you made the playoffs and you didn't have any good quarterback play for the most part. You know, and I think Matt Canada, the former offensive coordinator, is a big part of that. They were stubborn with keeping Canada. However, I just gave you an upgrade to a team that already is a perennial playoff team. So I'm upgrading you, and the Steelers are a tough team and they're a tough out. And I think what they did was there was no obvious franchise guy sitting out there. So what do? You take two cheap flyers on these two dudes who have this potential for a massive upside. Unless you bottom out or unless they were going to go big on the draft, there was no way to find another franchise quarterback right away. So instead, you find one who's a little past his prime and maybe one who's a little before his prime, and you hope that one of those works out. And I think that Fields is going to be the one that ends up working out for them.
Well, why do you think the rest of the NFL passed on him then?
I think a couple reasons. I think that, first of all, he does take a lot of sacks, and yet he can find his deep receivers, but not consistently enough. We know that. I think the other problem is I don't think the market fell in the right way. He's just a 1 year too old, closer to that contract extension, the pick it up the fifth-year option. And I just think it was the type of year where Kirk Cousins found a landing spot and just other—
Because he's good.
Well, I think they wanted to go with a more established guy. I think that Atlanta, I don't understand it, but they felt this urgency to get this veteran guy in there. And I think Fields could end up being the one with the higher upside, but they weren't doing an upside thing. They want the sure thing. That's not Fields' fault that Kirk Cousins is, 10 years in the league.
I don't think that Fields has a higher upside. I think Kirk Cousins could be 35 touchdowns and 10 picks. I don't think Justin Fields is going to do that. Not in Pittsburgh, not with Arthur Smith. And also, they let Deontay Johnson go to Carolina. It's
I think it was a personality thing.
But you think George Pickens has a great personality? This is Steelers wide receiver room. He has no one to throw to right now. They're going to be, Arthur Smith, is going to hand off the ball every time. This is not exactly a situation where quarterbacks are going to thrive. And Russell, even in Denver last year, Russell was playing so conservative. I think this is going to be a very conservative offense. Mike Tomlin, at the end of the day, does not really want to open it up. He did for a little bit with Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell and Big Ben. I don't think he ever wants to go back to that. So I don't think you're going to see great quarterback play. I think you're going to muscle out a lot of close wins and be kind of where Pittsburgh has been for 6 years. And I know Steelers fans are tired of that spot. And to me, this has not elevated them out of that spot.
See, I think they can win a playoff games with this combination. And while we dunk on Arthur Smith and the offense didn't work in Atlanta, he had no good quarterback play there. Even Raheem Morris said if he did have a good quarterback, he'd probably still be the head coach of the team and not me. And I think one thing he does do really well utilizing the run game is the play action. And that's something that Justin Fields actually is very good at. That's something that Russell Wilson still can do. So if you're going to do that kind of an offense, I think you're going to be able to catch some guys. I like this. Again, I'm high on it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. The Fields, market for him, I think you just have to say, listen, there were a lot of factors. I think there were just a lot of spots that were already sealed up. I think people learn from Sam Darnold's trade to the Carolina Panthers. Everyone knew the Bears are going to take a quarterback at one. You don't want to be that guy who overpays for an obviously available person. Does that make sense?
And you're right. It is a lot about the contract situation. I just picture this Russell Wilson. You're saying play action. Yeah, that's great. I'm visiting last year's play action. Russell refused to run. And when he did run, it seemed like there was an 8-yard patch of green in front of him that he somehow got 3.5 yards. And then you go 35. The opposite side, Justin Fields, he can run. If you give him 8 yards of green, he's going to get 16 yards. So you have two different styles. One is young and dynamic. One is old and conservative. It's a lot to come together here. And also, what do you think of the situation? You have two guys there. And the expression, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. What you don't ever see this Russell Wilson, Justin Fields thing being a point of tension in Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, it's going to be awkward as all hell, probably. But like, that's not my problem. I was prepared for Chicago to have both Fields and Caleb Williams just to wait it out for better draft compensation. I mean, here's the thing. If you're asking me, Fields gets the 2025 sixth round pick that can become a fourth rounder if Fields plays 51% of the snaps. I think he's going to hit that mark. If you're asking me, I think he's going to hit that mark. And I think it's going to look kind of brilliant that they had this sort of contingency plan, even if Russ does, like, quote unquote, win the job out of camp, which I'm not even 100% sure he's going to do that. And then I think, say something happens and Fields gets hurt like he did last year and had to miss four games. Well, then Russ comes back in. And I like it. I just think that you've given yourself, yes, it's two quarterbacks, not one, but I've given myself two pretty good options here that were better than anything I had last year.
Yeah, I mean, coming into last year, I was a little burned by the Steelers. They were my Super Bowl pick. There was this idea that Kenny Pickett was going to be Kirk Cousins in the sense that he was going to be a high-volume passer. He had a lot of talent, wide receiver, running back. That was the fantasy with Pittsburgh. That fantasy's dead with these two guys. It's a completely different style. There's no way Russell Wilson's going to throw for 4,500 yards in Pittsburgh. So I think that Pittsburgh's offense stays exactly where it's been. And that's partly a function of Mike Tomlin. That's how Mike Tomlin wants to play. You say this quarterback situation is going to work. Mike Tomlin's not going to let it work. They're going to win 19-17 again and again and again. Fields, you know, he has a lot to overcome. He's got to learn to get rid of the ball, and he's got to step it up late in the fourth quarter. That's where he struggled a little bit this year. They blew some games. I'm thinking the Detroit game.
Yep.
So I like Fields. I wanted the Eagles to get him. I don't know why we ended up with Kenny Pickett. I think the Bears said, no, we're not giving you Justin Fields.
I think it's the contract.
No, I think the Eagles want it. I mean, the Eagles, we talked about last week, the Eagles and the Chiefs, the Andy Reid, Howie Roseman team has always traded for that backup quarterback and then developed him. So I think the Eagles offered a fourth rounder for him, and the Bears said no. I guarantee that, because that's basically what they gave up for Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, they said there were five teams, according to some reporting from ESPN, five teams reached out. The Bears did have, the Steelers did have a stronger offer. The Bears had a stronger offer from Justin Fields. The Bears had a stronger offer for Justin Fields, but they specifically took the Pittsburgh deal because they thought it was the quote unquote doing right by him, giving him a chance to start. The other one was behind an entrenched starter.
Yes. So it could have been Kansas City, could have been Philly. Could have been. What's some other teams that we've been hearing that were interested in Fields?
I just think it was actually more about who's closer to the end of their contract. And with Kenny Pickett, you get two more years before you have to make any kind of decisions, or 2 years before the end of the contract. And Fields, it's only one. And I think that was it, and nothing more to it than that.
Oh, you mean why teams want to pick it?
Yeah, why the Eagles did.
I don't know the backstory. I think they wanted Fields and they couldn't get him, and they had to settle with Pickett.
I mean, but still, you get 2 years of the backup.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they want him as a backup. I think they want to either have him start eventually or flip him.
Yeah, that's possible, too. 855-212-4CBS. Again, we will get to the NCAA tournament, both men's and the women's side, our thoughts on the brackets. And we doing Final Four predictions today, too?
Well, no, I think it's Monday. I think the sports rules are you can have a Final Four on Monday, but I think everybody gets to take till Wednesday to put in cement. You could write it. I mean, maybe I'm being soft here, but I have a penciled in Final Four, and I feel awful about it.
Okay.
And, and I always
fantastic.
Do.
What a sell.
My penciled in Final Four is always awful. It is a hard bracket this year, Maggie. And when I say it's a hard bracket this year, I mean every year.
Yes, we will get to that. Our impressions of the first round, regions, all of it, the stars of the tournament. But we start off with the quarterback news, and we go to Kevin, who's in Oregon, up first here on CBS Sports Radio. I like this move. Perloff says it doesn't move the needle or the fortunes for the Steelers enough. Kevin, what do you think, pal?
Well, I don't think it's ideal, but when you take into consideration their draft position, they're not going to get a better quarterback than Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. So I think they did the best they could. And considering it's going to be, you know, like ground Chuck Knox all over again with Arthur Smith, they don't really need their quarterbacks to win them games. So I don't think it's a bad thing.
Kevin, you and I are simpatico here. Thank you for the call. I think eventually your quarterback always has to help you win. That may be a bridge too far for me. At some point, your quarterback has to make a play if you're going to go anywhere. And I think Fields more likely is the guy who can do it if they actually develop him, Perloff.
Who's going to develop him? Arthur Smith? I have a lot of doubts about Arthur Smith. I don't think this is the ideal spot for Justin Fields. I almost would want to see him with more like an offensive genius type, a Sean McVay acolyte or a Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota type. By the way, Pittsburgh could draft a quarterback. They're sitting there at 20. There's probably going to be Bo Nix or Michael Penix there. That's where they drafted Pickett. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Is Russell Wilson's Justin Fields better than Bo Nix and Michael Penix? I think history will be pretty split on that.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, lots going on today. Should I set the table for the show for today, EJ?
You should.
Okay. So we obviously have the actual NCAA men's and women's brackets to break down, which we will do, because God knows we are diehard college hoops fans around here. And we also have a Maggie and Perloff-themed bracket. Perloff, you and I have done this ever since we took over in the afternoons on CBS Sports Radio. Why wouldn't we continue it into the mornings? And the theme this year, give a hint.
Yeah.
It's going to put a pop in your step.
Ooh.
Pep in your step.
Yeah, it's gonna instantly improve your mood.
Yes, and your morning.
For the most part. Or it will completely annoy you and get stuck in your head.
Okay. So there you go. 855-212-4CBS. We're going to reveal that in just about an hour. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots to do. We start this off. Justin Fields and Russell Wilson now manning the quarterback room in Pittsburgh. Is it going to work? Will it not work? I say yes. Perloff says no. What do you think? 855-212-4CBS.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. A lot going on today. I'm staring at a bracket written in pencil because it's only Monday. I have my teams, Maggie. We'll get into that later. We have a really fun Maggie and Perloff-style bracket later in the show. We start off with the Justin Fields to Pittsburgh debate. I think it's going to be more of the same in Pittsburgh, which is slow, mediocre offense, either with Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. Maggie thinks this is a difference maker. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a difference maker. I think it's going to change the fortunes of the Steelers because it's an upgraded quarterback from what they had. They're already a playoff team. They roll out of bed and make the playoffs. Now let's get them winning a couple games in the postseason.
Yeah, I just think the Arthur Smith is offensive coordinator coming over from Atlanta, formerly of Tennessee.
Yeah.
Big run game. And I know they have Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. I think Mike Tomlin wants to win games 19-13, no matter who his quarterback is. And I don't think he's changing anymore.
Isn't that the way it goes in the AFC North, though?
Yeah.
Whatever your best laid plans are, and I know the Ravens had an unbelievable offense last year, and it got them to the conference championship game, but then it fell apart. I mean, this is how you have to win games in that division, 13-10.
So if you look at the fits for Justin Fields could have gone to Atlanta and been a Pro Bowler.
Right.
He could have been completely dynamic. I just don't think they say he's going to be the backup to Russell Wilson. I don't see either of these quarterbacks in that offense being dynamic.
Let's go to Jamie. He's in Georgia. Good morning, Jamie. How are you?
I'm so sorry. I'm so happy to be on the show. Good morning, you guys.
Oh, well, thanks for making the call. How you doing?
Yes, I'm doing great. I would like to side with you, Maggie. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers will be not only a playoff team, but a Super Bowl team within the next 3 years with Russ and Justin Fields in the backfield as quarterbacks.
And you think they're both going to be there in 3 years?
Well, I think after the first two, I think Russell might retire and then hand the reins over to Justin.
Interesting. Jamie, thank you for the phone call. Super Bowl team, Russ there for 2 years. I think this is a one and done for Russ, personally. I think the Fields is going to take the controls from him at some point and never give them back.
Yeah, but he'll be a true free agent after this year, likely, unless they pick up his fifth-year option, which economically doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So
they have to do that by May 2nd or May 3rd.
Yeah, and I don't even know the details. Can they, if they do not pick up that option, can they extend him during the season? I don't know, but at a certain point, he's going to get paid next year. And listen, there's going to be a lot of quarterback needy teams, not a strong quarterback draft last year. Maybe he does 1 year in Pittsburgh, shows he can play again, and then goes somewhere, maybe like a Vegas down the road. I'm just saying there's a lot can happen here. That 3 year plan is interesting and optimistic. Feels like a lot of obstacles to get past.
Right, but think what you just said. If he plays that well, that he's lining up to have this big market where the market was basically nothing for him this offseason, then the Steelers did something right. Then they're the ones who found the inefficiency. And it probably doesn't jump from, like, I traded for a sixth-round pick that could be a fourth to we're giving you $200 million. I do think there is a bit of an in-between there.
It's quarterback situation. Quarterback situation, right. Jordan Love, they got an in-between on. Still, I think Justin Fields is going to want a lot of money if he plays well. I still don't know how good of a quarterback he is. It was the holding on to the ball in sacks in Chicago. Was that a function of Chicago's coaching staff and not a lot of support around him? Certainly the Bears did not develop him and did not give him the help he needed. Will Pittsburgh be any different? Pittsburgh is not a place right now, Maggie, to go to develop a quarterback. It just doesn't seem like that's the way they've been going. Because Kenny Pickett looked good. He threw 43 touchdowns at Pitt. I thought he was going to be good. And they just destroyed his career already. So I worry that'll happen again.
855-212-4CBS. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines and some NCAA tournament stuff. Hello.
Good morning, everybody. Those headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. It had been March for 2.5 weeks, but the month really began last night with the unveiling of the most famous brackets in all the land. UConn and South Carolina, not surprisingly, the top overall seeds for the men and women. The Huskies won the whole thing last April. Dawn Staley's team hasn't lost a game yet this season.
I'm excited because we get a chance to know what our path is to win a national championship. And all great teams, a lot of familiar faces that's in our region. But we have to take it one game at a time. And that's what we'll do on Friday.
South Carolina was undefeated last season until losing to Iowa in the Final Four. Caitlin Clark's crew is also a one seed this time. First time for the program since 92. USC and Texas, the other one seeds. Houston, Purdue, and UNC for the men. And then there's Long Beach State, the 15 seed in the West. The Beach, the 49ers, the Dirtbags, whatever you prefer, dead in the water as February became March, so much so that they announced a mutual split with longtime head coach Dan Munson last Monday, and then they Cinderella'd their way through the Big West tourney with Munson still coaching.
Well, I got the 99 run at Gonzaga, but as Mark Fuchs said in a text, why don't we have a run at the first year and one in the last? But I don't think this is my last. I love coaching. I love teams. I need a new challenge. It's life. It's on to the next chapter.
And good vibes only.
When Jim Harbaugh says, who's got it better than him, somebody needs to tell him Dan Munson.
So I don't know if you guys were following this story last week, but they the tweets started coming out that they were breaking up, him and the school. And then I swear I read quotes from him going, this was my call. I wanted to do something. It was stale. I wanted to do something new.
Right.
And everyone keeps using the word fired since they won the Big West. So I don't know why they broke up, but it's still just awkward that he's a dead man walking head coach and they're still playing games.
Yeah. My biggest question is, all right, let's say they make it to the Sweet 16. I don't think that's going to happen, but it is March. Crazy things happen. Do they bring him back? Or now does he use that to catapult? He's been 17 years at Long Beach, and now he's going to use this to get one of the big openings?
Yeah, I'm going to say, if he goes to the Sweet 16, I mean, he should have Power 5 schools calling him, if you think about it. I mean, those teams, usually their coaches leave for bigger jobs. The fact that he's been there this long is a little bit surprising.
I know, but clearly, the coaching market has spoken. They know Dan Munson. Munson's been around for a really long time.
Right, but at the same time, and that's true, and he's a little older, though he's not old as people think. I think he's only 62, I think, he's not 70. So I don't know. If you go on a run and you have on your resume, hey, I basically started the Gonzaga, Cinderella dynasty that we now know them to be, that's a pretty good resume. I think he should get a shot at a Power 5 job if they go far.
I know, but he did that in the 90s.
Right, it's been 17 years of not having a run in Long Beach State.
Right, but Long Beach State, I mean, that was a program that was completely dead, and he's taken them to the tournament before, and they've been okay, not of late, which is why he was fired. But, I mean, Dan Munson is not some, bum as a head coach.
Absolutely, you're right. I mean, he's definitely a name, more of a trivia question.
Yeah.
Who was the last person to coach Gonzaga before Mark Few?
I feel like he is, the Lou Gehrig of college basketball coaches. What if he just stayed at Gonzaga? Maybe Gonzaga's not what they would have been, but let's say they are. How much more money and more fame he would have? Maybe Mark Few is a guy we never heard of.
If he thought that way, he would not be able to get out of bed in the morning. That would be tough.
He's probably saying, this is why he's probably saying in statements, hey, I'm looking for a new challenge, because he's probably chasing that white whale of making another Gonzaga.
Can I tell you something? Not the same, but it made me think of it. My husband has a friend nobody can ever talk about this, and you can never bring it up to him, nor would I ever. He is a friend who got offered to go be one of the original people of Facebook. Like, he would have been, like, number 14 or something.
Now
like
that's a disaster.
Yeah.
And instead, he took, like, a Fulbright fellowship something to go continue his academic career. And now he has a nice job, but it's not, like, and you just can't even bring it up. It took him a really long time to get over.
Wait, but he must be so smart that he got a lot of job offer. He got Fulbright scholarship, so he can't be doing badly.
He's not doing badly. It would have been different had he been like top 20 at Facebook back in whenever that was, 2000.
Yeah, he owned a small soccer team somewhere.
And a small island. Yeah.
Yeah. My grandfather, my mom's dad, tells a story that no one's ever bothered to look up whether it makes sense historically, timeline wise, but he worked like at a meatpacking company. And he says he came home one day and basically pitched my grandmother the idea of a TV dinner. Like, what if you put a portion of meat and a vegetable and froze it and so like that? And my grandma was like, that's the dumbest idea ever heard. And he was like, okay. And he went right back to work. So
he would have been able to create this?
I mean, I don't know.
He had a manufacturing
system? I don't know what would have happened after. If my grandma had said that's a good idea, I don't know what he would have done next. But he swears he thought
originator of the TV dinner.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not the same as getting an offer for being number 14 at Facebook. Your grandpa supposedly thought of TV dinner. A little more nebulous.
A little bit, but not that much. He's a 16 seed, not a 1 seed. Pro hoops last night. The Clippers, they're struggling. A 110-93 home loss to the Hawks last night. They've dropped 4 of 5, just a game clear of the Pelicans for the 4 seed. But Ty Lue, still cool.
Nothing to overreact to. Like, the guys in the locker room, they understand what we need to do. Our coaching staff, we understand what we need to do. If we want to get out of this, if we want to be a team, you know, doing something special in the playoffs.
The Hawks got 21 points and 10 assists from DeJounte Murray. They've got a 4.5 game lead on the Nets for the last spot in the East play-in. Brooklyn losing to the Spurs in Austin in OT, 122-115. A young man named Victor Wembanyama had 33 points, 16 rebounds, 7 blocks, and 7 assists.
Whatever. He had Dennis Schroeder covering him. And that doesn't even count.
Have we checked the odds lately?
I don't think you can make that bet anymore.
Off the board. Vegas is like, they threw in the wave the white towel. This is happening. You are driving to San Antonio.
Definitely.
We got so sidetracked with our other things and the WrestleMania bet and all that stuff. I forgot that you're driving to San Antonio.
Chet Holmgren did get a national ad. Chet Holmgren, did you guys see the ad where he's walking out of the bus? So that's something. But
the one with Shai Gilgeous? Yeah. The singing? Yeah. I was thinking to myself, I was like, does Chet know this song?
Like, I don't know.
He's very young. What are the chances he knows that Christina Aguilera song, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And like
10%?
I'm like, that dude is tall and skinny even in an ad. Wemby. So I really...
He's standing next to another basketball player.
I really sat down and studied Wemby's game last night against the Brooklyn Nets. I got to tell you, he's pretty good.
Thanks. A lot of film study there.
Way to join the bandwagon.
He's going to have a nice future in the NBA.
Was it the 30 points?
When he reached over the backboard to block a shot and then came down and hit a 3 and all that, I'm like, whoa. This guy.
You write that down in your notes?
Scouting notes. 7'4", moves like he's 6'4", and can shoot. Yes. I should not have made that bet.
Well, I'm sure he'll appreciate your apology.
Now, listen, he's easy to push around. He has to fill out a little bit. I mean, that's obvious. He's going to be rookie of the year. Next year, he will not be MVP, or I will walk to San Antonio. If he wins an MVP in his first 3 years, walking to San Antonio.
I will book a flight on Blue Origin.
Oh, my gosh.
Head to outer space.
I'll ride a bike.
ride a bike.
If he wins a title within
now
5
you're just trying to get away from us.
If he wins a title within 5 years, I will go to outer space. That Spurs team around him is awful. And I don't know how they're going to get better.
This is going to end with Perloff just floating through.
It's going to be him and Jeff Bezos. Yeah.
I will swim to London.
It's a rickety spaceship that goes just above the sky, but not into the atmosphere.
Can we put you on an iceberg and just shove you off into the ocean?
I will sail around the world on a little boat alone if Victor Wembanyama repeats his champion.
It's like, who's your co-host? Magellan? Like, yeah. He's looking for parts unknown.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He's pretty good. It's the official Sky Report.
I will sail around.
Remember when I called him Wembanyama?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was, that's not true. I'll admit when I'm wrong. And in this case, it's pretty easy.
I'll admit when I'm wrong on a 4-month delay.
Yeah. I was holding on. I mean, I didn't want to get any positive vibes out there about Wemby. I wanted to convince voters not to vote for him. It's over. I'm going to take my lumps. I'm going to start looking at maps.
Wembanyama?
Yeah.
Wow. Start looking at maps. Yep.
Part of it was Wembanyama just flowed so nicely, and I kind of convinced myself. But the Spurs still stick.
Wembanyama?
Does it matter? They beat the Nets, who are tanking. Forget it. I'm not. All right, I'm back at anti. You guys are just enjoying this way too much. Look at Pete. Wembanyama? Wembanyama?
Yep, that's where the apology is going to come.
Wembanyama?
The Cleveland Browns reportedly signing Tyler Huntley as their fourth QB. The Winnipeg Jets, a 6-1 rout of the Blue Jackets in Columbus. They join Dallas and Colorado on 91 points atop the Central Division. And Scotty Scheffler closed an 8-under-64 to erase a 5-shot hole to start the day. He's the first ever repeat winner at the Players' Championship. Guys, back to you.
How crazy. It was like that was happening with Scotty Scheffler.
And Wyndham Clark and crazy.
Crazy. Kyrie's hitting a buzzer beater, left-handed hook shot from the free throw line, basically, and the bracket was getting released.
Yeah,
my kid's like, "Mommy," I'm like, "Not now."
It's my favorite time of the sports calendar. It's just crazy. It's hard to follow everything.
Well,
especially once opening day kicks around, and then you got like NBA playoffs run and Masters. It's crazy.
The TPC was crazy because Wyndham Clark missed a putt that just barely missed to go into that extra round. There's nothing more tense than putts to win a golf tournament. I would totally melt in that situation. By the way, Bogus and I have an alternate road trip planned.
Oh, wow. So Bogus is in now.
Well, I refuse to let him drive with me to San Antonio because I know he wants to get away from his family just as much as I do.
And you won't grant him that?
Yeah, wait till you're a dad, EJ. You'll understand. But we might go on a road trip to Brooklyn, New York to see the edge. We're looking.
Oh, wow. What is that? A whole subway ride over 20 minutes?
Well, baby steps.
And probably separate rides because I'm here longer than you are, so I'd have to meet you there. So we wouldn't even actually be road tripping to Brooklyn.
Also, can you walk to Barclays Pro Off?
Yes, easily. Okay, very easily.
So the road trip is actually on foot.
It's a stroll over the Brooklyn Bridge.
Like I said, baby steps.
Yeah. Oh, because you guys want to go see UConn play now. It's going to be in the East Regional.
No, actually, we're actually bummed that UConn and Duke are in the East Regional because that makes tickets through the roof. This is sort of, and I think
Duke's in it too.
The NCAA did this on purpose, right? To put UConn and Duke.
Well, those teams get I don't say preference, but they kind of let them know, hey, when you're a number one team, you can say, hey, I want to go there.
But I felt like they want to guarantee that UConn will play Duke for TV ratings. I don't know. They don't openly admit that.
They're not supposed to say that, but I mean.
Yeah, because otherwise Duke could have gotten knocked out and UConn would have gone through a run of mediocre teams.
Yeah.
But this makes tickets. I mean, can you imagine a ticket to seeing UConn and Duke? That would be through the roof.
Yeah, once Duke and UConn were put in Brooklyn, I was like, well, those tickets are going to skyrocket. Like, I don't know why Duke even got that. Like, for a 4 seed to get, I know they're in North Carolina, but New York is essentially their second home. Like, for them to get that kind of home cooking was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, how you guys are discounting the Vermont Catamounts and not seeing them coming, that's your fatal flaw. And when Vermont takes down Duke, everyone's
going
to be left.
They might as well be playing that camera because that is going, I mean, it's going to be a 95% Duke crowd. It's ridiculous.
855-212-BOGUS. Thank you. 855-212-4CBS. All right, we are going to turn our attention to college hoops. One thing we were really bummed about when we saw the brackets released yesterday, we'll tell you about that next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. NCAA tournament brackets are out now. On the men's side, I mean, super exciting. We'll get to our impressions of the first round in a moment, but we couldn't help but notice, Perloff, the number one star on men's or women's in this tournament is definitely Caitlin Clark, and the committee did Iowa absolutely zero favors. You know, this is, and not that they should necessarily, but this is going to be a challenge for them. Of course, you know, maybe first, second round matchups are not going to be too tough, although Princeton has been a very tough team. In the same bracket as, in the same region rather, as Iowa, you have Creighton, who has given Iowa trouble this season. And then, of course, LSU with Angel Reese. I mean, this was the finals from last year and one of the biggest stories in college basketball. That could be an Elite Eight matchup.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't bet against LSU. No, you know, without having studied it, they seem like such a mentally tough team when it comes down to it at the end. They are really scary. So you think...
Not to mention UCLA is also in this.
Do you think this is... Getting to conspiracy theories, do you think that they didn't want to be perceived as giving Caitlin Clark a pass to go all the way and made sure that the optics were a tough bracket, or is it just the way it fell?
I mean, I'll join you on that.
Yeah,
ride.
I mean, come on, we know these committees or know what they're doing.
Yeah, but it doesn't. What does that do for them? Because I think a lot of people would love to see the rematch against LSU at the latest possible stage.
Sure.
I think maybe they wanted to make sure they got at least one of, they at least got the rematch, because you're not sure if Iowa and South Carolina are going to play each other, and South Carolina looks so good, but they wanted it maybe to be at least as much of a guarantee as you can have that Iowa and LSU are going to play. If you want to make sure you have that or at least get close, then you got to put them in the same region.
What would the dream matchup have been? Iowa versus LSU in the final, or Iowa versus South Carolina in the final?
I think it's probably... The better game is probably Iowa, South Carolina.
Right.
But LSU, I mean,
that would
just
epic.
Be unreal. It'd be through the roof.
Yeah. I kind of think that because LSU has not necessarily had the smoothest season, that this was actually the committee's way. You could say maybe they are making Caitlin Clark and Iowa's road more difficult, but this is a better way to guarantee you get that matchup than putting them on opposite sides.
Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. You want to, like, take out some of the guesswork. But again, Creighton is here. They're a good team on the women's side. Obviously, on the men's side, they get a 3-seed.
The 2-seed in there, and like that's not a picnic for for LSU either. They've had a great season.
Totally true. Bruising team, UCLA, physical. So all of that is going to be very, very, very fun. But Caitlin Clark's got her work cut out for her. And then the same thing happened on the men's side with UConn, which is they get a really tough road. However, because they have three different, on the men's side for UConn, three different conference champions who are in this bracket. So UConn, obviously, they won the Big East, but you also had Auburn, who won the SEC. You have Duquesne, right, who was a conference champion for the first time since like 1977, I believe it was. And then you also had Iowa State, who won the Big 12. Add on top of that, San Diego State and Florida Atlantic, two Final Four teams from a year ago, all in this East region.
Yeah, the committee said no more San Diego State, FAU, UConn Final Four. I have a stat that will make you think twice about putting the favorite UConn through. You know, we were talking about this last night. There hasn't been a repeat champion since Florida in 2007. Not only has there not been a repeat champion, no champions got past the Sweet 16 since 2007. For some reason, the sport is set up. It's really, really hard to repeat. UConn's in a great spot to do that. But you got to share your theory on why this could happen.
Oh, what I said last night on
our call? I love this theory. I've been thinking about it all night.
I didn't expect that to become national
fodder. Come on.
I said, well... You know, the Kansas City Chiefs just made it back-to-back, and it hadn't happened since the early 2000s, so I think we're due.
I think there's logic There's logic there.
It's probably more likely that LSU actually makes it back and wins again.
One more stat from this from ESPN Stats and Info. Defending champs have lost in the first or second round in each of the past six tournaments, three of which were number one seeds. It's just a reminder of March Madness. UConn looks unbeatable through the Big East tourney right now, and Danny Hurley's as intense a man as there is, but the history says this isn't going to happen.
Okay, but why is that, right? Let's dig a little bit deeper. It's usually because if you have really great one-and-done talent, they're done.
Right.
They go on to the NBA, like an Anthony Davis or something like that, or you have seniors who are all graduating. So those tend to be the two types of teams that win the whole thing. So, of course, their next year is going to be a letdown. UConn is not like that.
The number one seed's a lot. I mean, Kansas, the repeat year, they were a number one seed last year, and they got knocked out early. Baylor was a number one seed following their year in Villanova. So they're more towards the older teams.
Right, right.
But, UConn's kind of a combo. There is really, there's not great one and done talent. I mean, EJ follows the NBA draft a little closer than us. It's not like we're going to be watching a lot of NBA stars in this tournament, as far as I can tell.
It's funny. I was actually just asking Perloff. I'm like, so, because he's Mr. Mock Draft, and we'll pull over to the side of the road to read 10 mock drafts. Like, who is projected to be the best pro from this field of 68? Because I won a bracket one time. And it was because I picked Carmelo Anthony in Syracuse because I was like, oh, Melo is going to be the best NBA player from this pool. I'm going to bet on him.
Yeah.
It hasn't worked a lot.
One-done talent, typically, unless you're a star-studded team like Kentucky, even they only won once. Usually one-and-dones go out very quickly in the tournament. It's a weird environment, a lot of pressure on these guys. They usually don't play well in those type of games. So, usually I always fade the one-and-done type team led by one or two guys because
right, but this year you don't really have them though, right?
You don't really have too many. I mean, one team is playing in the play-in. Colorado has Cody Williams, who's the brother of Jalen Williams with the Thunder. One of the Jalen Williams is on the Thunder. He's really good. He could be a lottery pick. To me, if you're looking at the best player, you're probably looking at Kentucky, and there might actually be two guys to talk about, either Rob Dillingham or Reed Shepard, who of course Rex Chapman, who was great enough to get on the show, talked about on Friday. Those two guys are both guys who definitely could be lottery picks, definitely be top 10, top 5, top guys.
But it's clearly Dalton Knecht, right? I mean, he's a lot older than these guys.
Well, in terms of
Star power, I mean, he's going to be a top 5 pick, and he's got a legit...
He might not get drafted higher than either of those two guys.
Yeah, but I think that he's older and he's more established. I think he's a bigger star. He's the guy to watch, though. As far as Maggie asks, who are you watching? I think he's the biggest future pro star in this draft.
Knecht is awesome. I mean, I like him. He's a little older, but I mean, he has one of the purest shooting strokes in all of college basketball. So no question. And he's all around scorer. He's a 3-level scorer. He's very good. I'm just saying those two kids at Kentucky, you want to talk about potential and not even just potential. Reed Shepard is doing it now. Both of the guys are doing it now. Reed Shepard's shooting like 50% from three, 50% from the field. Those are two awesome players. I wouldn't discount those guys. Their numbers might be better had they gone to a team that didn't have so much talent.
Well, I'm just saying, it's Kentucky. And a lot of people are penciling in the Final Four, but it's Kentucky. Young talent often disappoints this time of year. And a lot of people are penciling them through. So I that's why I'm saying Knecht. I think Tennessee should last a long time. And what about our guy, Zach Edey, too, we have not mentioned, who could be a top 10 pick as well.
So we will talk about Purdue. We'll get more into them. But in terms of Kentucky, let's just pause on them for a second. Because the first round matchup against Oakland, okay. Then you look at Marquette. And Marquette, so Kentucky is the 3 seed in the South region. Marquette is the 2 seed, but Marquette is definitely facing some big injury stuff, right?
Yes, Tyler Kolek is out.
Tyler Kolek
may come back for the tournament, but
he's been out. Come back for the tournament. And I know that they're being really positive about this, but you're talking about injuries to look out for. Kolek for Marquette. We talk about Kansas a little bit later on. They're banged up as well, and that's a team that doesn't have a lot of depth. So you want to make sure, what percentage are these guys going to be at because they're going to be asked to play a lot of minutes. This could be setting up pretty well here for Kentucky. Just because if Marquette is dealing with injury stuff, then maybe you're on your way to the Elite Eight potentially.
Tyler Kolek is an awesome point guard, maybe the best in the country. If he's not 100%, that's a tough blow for Marquette. And we look at Shaka Smart's record in tournament play of late. That VCU thing, that happened a long time ago.
Yeah.
Look at what they did after that, and look at what they've done at Texas. Not a lot of tournament success, and a massive disappointment last year as a 2 seed, losing to Michigan State in the second round. A lot of people being me, put them in the Final Four last season, and it did not work out well. So Marquette really awesome regular season. He's built a good program there, but they're a little scary given the Kolek injury.
Well, it just could be really bad luck. And then more talent on that bottom half of the South region. Texas Tech, okay, but NC State, which got an 11 seed yesterday after blazing their way through the ACC tournament, but you play 5 games, 5 days. I mean, do you have the emotional stamina to sort of keep that up? Like, does this mean you're a team that's rolling, or did you just get hot for a couple weeks because nobody thought that NC State was going to be a factor, and here they are?
Well, I hope not. I mean, aren't they? They're clearly America's team right now. Is there anyone who they're the darling of this tournament? DJ Burns is the most likable player.
Everyone loves a big man.
They hate the big man, but
they love the big man when it's like this.
A very big man with a soft touch and a lefty. There's just something so beautiful about it.
Yeah.
Nobody can cover him. He's just like, oh, this guy's turning away that I've never seen, except for Kyrie Irving with a lefty hook. Nobody takes a lefty hook anymore, except DJ Burns. Wait, they're all in the same bracket as my Houston Cougars. Are we forgetting about Houston once they get out there with that defense?
Can they score?
Yeah, they put up 40 points in Big 12 final.
They're going to strangle other teams on defense. So, I just think it depends how physical you let Houston be. We're really breaking down this particular bracket.
Well, the South is very interesting.
We've got the most, maybe you talk about DJ Burns being a darling. How about the Japanese Steph Curry? Tomanga,
Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about a guy who could really turn it up, especially if they play Houston in the second round, they upset them. This guy will shoot from anywhere. I mean, literally no conscience.
And he'll drop 30 on you.
Yes, scary. That's a scary matchup if Houston has to play them in the second round.
Big question we have about one of the blue bloods in this tournament. Perloff and I will get to that next. Maggie and Perloff, don't move. CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.